Kira, you are now at the airport. It is Sunday afternoon, Saskatchewan time, Sunday evening in Kenya. What are you thinking? What are you feeling right now as we speak?
I'm feeling completely exhausted. I've had a full week of waking up at like 5 a.m. because my body doesn't know what time it is. I was going to say, aside from being completely exhausted, I'm kind of reluctant to leave. Like, I don't want to go. I cried today just because of the lifelong friends that I'm having to leave, and I'm going to miss them. And also I'm feeling fulfilled because this experience was really great, and it has me itching to go to the next one. It's in Croatia next year.
Are you getting hooked on these events? The Farm Writers, there's a strong core that do go to a lot of these events. Can you see yourself becoming part of that core?
Yeah, I can, actually. Yeah, they kept talking about, like, have you drank the IFAJ Kool-Aid? And that's an awful reference, but yeah, I kind of have. It's addicting. It really is, because why not go? I mean, if you have the time off from work, it's an amazing experience. You learn so much, and you meet amazing people. You meet people from – I can say – I know someone from 30 different countries and every single continent.
Do you plan on keeping in contact with a few of these people? You mentioned your roommate from Australia. You two seem to have gotten along quite well.
Yeah, I do plan to keep in touch with them. We actually have a Zoom meeting scheduled for like 3 months down the road. We have a set of goals that we were supposed to, you know, go out, see what we can do with them. And then we're going to come back. We're going to share what we've done, what kind of adventures we've embarked on and progress we've made either with our job or just personally. And we're gonna share some of the photos that we took during the conference.
Let's go back to Wednesday. You had some sessions before you went on some tours. What sort of things did you cover in that IFAJ meeting?
Wednesday morning until about 1 p.m. we didn't have anything going on, so we took an Uber and went down to the city center. We went to the city market, and we hit up, well, you know how everyone brings their wares and all of their little crafts and their flowers, and they try and sell it. So that's where we were. It was really fun. And then we made it back by 1 o'clock. That's when the delegate meeting started, and I was actually asked to be a part of that. So it was me and Craig from Alberta and Jay from Manitoba and Lily and Cher. And so we were the four delegates from Canada. I sat in on the meeting, and we talked a lot about some very interesting things, actually. The name change of the IFAJ. We're not technically a federation, so we had to change to forum, so that was kind of funny. So we voted on that. And then also we had some issues regarding membership payments. I think about a third of member countries weren't paying their dues. So we talked about that as well. And it was really actually insightful to sit in on. And I was glad they invited me. And then after that was kind of the welcome ceremony, the opening ceremony, because Wednesday's when it actually kicked off, when everyone else joined, not just the young leaders. So yeah, it was a big supper and some speeches. And that was really great. Some dancing and some live music, some African music. That was the kickoff to a great conference. It was amazing.
And you weren't the only Canadian there. You've mentioned a couple of people. How big was the Canadian delegation, and did you guys sort of hang together a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So we had about 18 people, which is really, really good. I think us and Australia had the most people attending, but I'm pretty sure we beat them. So I think we had the most people from our country there. And yeah, we did hang out a lot because I had met these people 2 years ago in Halifax, a lot of them. And so it was really good to catch up with a lot of these people and see them again, see what they're doing, and fill them in what I've been doing. And it was just really nice to hang out with people that I've missed for a while.
I attended an IFAJ when it was held in Olds, Alberta, a few years ago. And there was a lot of social activity, to say the least, in the evenings and into the early morning hours. Was it the same in Kenya, or was it all work and no play?
They scheduled very long days for us. So we would get up, you know, at 5, some days at 4:30 to start our tours. And by the time we got back, it was often like 7:30, then time for supper, a late supper. And then by that time, you wanted to go to bed. So anyone who wanted to actually socialize, you could, but that means you're staying up till 2 and shutting the place down. So unfortunately, I really didn't get as much networking and socializing in as I'd like to, unless you're doing it over supper, which I'd rather just be eating because I'm starving.
But you do get a chance to talk to people on the bus rides. I'm sure there's a lot of opportunity there to talk.
Yeah, no, the bus rides were great. They were actually really long, so we had some really good, thoughtful discussion. And every single tour, you were with a different group of people, which was nice. So One time I sat beside a guy from Denmark, and one time actually I sat beside Michelle from Alberta, and I got to know her a bit. And yeah, it was just a really great networking opportunity. Even though we didn't get the after hours social time, we did all throughout the day get time to talk with each other on the bus.
Now, there was an important domestic event that happened in Kenya while you were there, and it did make a bit of international news. A former leader, a very popular leader, who was getting medical treatment, I believe, in India, died, and they were bringing his body back. And there was a bit of an incident at the airport, and I'm not too sure if it was mourning or they were celebrating the fact that he was coming back. How did that affect your tours, and what was your impression of what happened?
Yeah, it happened earlier in the week. He was very popular. He was the former prime minister, and he had quite a few followers. Raila Odinga, he was 80 years old. He was over in India. Yeah, he passed away getting medical treatment, so that's all correct. In his will, he said, "I want to be buried within 3 days," and that's not normal for that part of the world. So they rushed him back from India, and just the rushing of it all, it upset his followers. And so they were saying, like, this isn't proper, this isn't how it's supposed to be. But they met him, yeah, at the airport, shut that down for a couple hours. Then they all rallied at a stadium, and they're having it was a mourning protest, so there wasn't really anything wrong technically, but you know, mourning his death. So thousands of people gathered at this stadium, and police were there, and they were using tear gas. And eventually it ended up being so bad that they did end up killing 4 people, because they just had to keep the masses back. It got so aggressive. And so how that affected us, they made the day of his funeral a national holiday. Okay, so you know what that means. No government-related buildings open. Nobody we want to talk to is going to be available. They're at home. They're mourning their former prime minister. So we had to make so many calls, last-minute, middle-of-the-night calls, which I commend the team in Kenya for doing that. I was thinking if we were doing that in Canada, I'm not sure how many midnight calls we make. We ended up rearranging all of our tours to accommodate for this. And so I didn't unfortunately get to go to a snail farm, which is sad because that's government funded or whatever. It's government property. But we made some accommodations, rearranged some tours, and we did make a full day out of it. But yeah, it definitely rearranged our day. And also the highways were blocked with this procession. So we had to leave even earlier in the morning to make sure that we weren't stuck in traffic all day.
You mentioned you were going to go to a tea-making place. Did you end up going there?
We did, yeah. That was, I think, the best tour of the entire week. I took a lot of photos and a lot of video. It's called Kegway Tea Factory, and we went first to a tea farm to see how it's planted and how it's grown. And then we went to a tea buying market, which is where all the buyers bring their product, and they lay it on a table, and it's examined, and then it's picked up, taken to the tea factory, which is just across the street, very conveniently, and it's weighed, and then it's withered. I'll go through the whole process with you. They weigh it, they inspect it, then they wither it to get the moisture down from 85% to 65%, and then they cut it, or they roll it, depending on the form of tea that you'd like. Then they oxidize it. It turns it from green to brown. And then they dry it, and it turns it into that, you know, the tea that you see in the store. Then they package it up, all themselves, their own labeling, and they roll it out onto the trucks. And the whole process takes about 9 hours. And we got to see, we obviously weren't there for 9 hours, but we saw every step of the process, and it was fascinating. Then we tried some, and it was delicious.
Do you have any tea to bring back to Canada?
I do, yeah. We got free. Every tour was so nice. We got a free, either merchandise. We got a free safari hat. So we ended up getting free tea and free coffee. So yeah, if you want to try some, I'm bringing some back.
Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it. And the final day, earlier today, you went on a safari. Tell us about that.
Oh yeah, that was amazing. I was happy to leave it to the end. It was really ended off on a high note. I'll tell you about it. Started out early. Got on the bus by 6. We were there by 7, and it was like a 3-hour, they call it a game drive. They don't even call it a safari. And it was just driving around in this huge national park. Like, there's so many animals. There's giraffes, elephants, zebras, impalas, lions, you name it. It was in there, and there's so many of them in population. Has you thinking, like, is this real? Are these really wild animals? But then you think, well, it's just like seeing a bear in, you know, Banff National Park. It's the same thing. So yes, they are wild. They're just plentiful. And I took so many videos and pictures that my phone filled up. My storage is completely booked. But yeah, I'll come back and show you some great photos. And then after that, we ended up going to the, it's called the David Sheldrick Elephant Orphanage. And so they take in elephants from the park that are, they're orphaned either due to like human-animal interference or the mother dies, just natural causes. They had 13 baby elephants and we got to see them and I got to pet one. And that was amazing. I took video of that as well. And then to follow, our last stop was the giraffe sanctuary. They give you a little half coconut shell full of little food pellets. And we got to go and feed them and touch their tongues. And it was slightly gross, but took video of that as well. Happy to show you. I'm probably going to make a PowerPoint or a video.
Do giraffes have long tongues? They have long necks. So do they have long tongues too?
They do. They're very long and they're like bluey black. They're dark. They're very strange and they're slimy.
If you had to pick your favorite animal from Kenya, what would it be?
That is really tough to say. I really like seeing the really big herds of zebras. I'm not going to be able to pick one, just forewarn you. Lions are super cool because they're really tough to spot. It's a gem if you do get to see one because not everyone gets to see them on their game drives. And we got to see two today, so that was really cool. Hippos are fascinating. Hippos are great. I didn't think we'd see them today. I wasn't sure if that was an option, but it was. The only things we didn't see were wild elephants, cheetahs, and, the Cape buffalo, so the really big buffalo. We didn't see those three things, but everything else, you name it, we saw it. I think the giraffes maybe are my favorite.
You are at the airport now, waiting in line to head back home. And, of course, that's the noise we hear in the background from time to time. You mentioned at the beginning, it's kind of sad to leave, but it's going to be kind of nice to get back home as well. And you've got the itch for travel now.
I do. Yeah, no, I'm absolutely exhausted. I can't wait to sleep on the way home. We go to Frankfurt, then to Vancouver, then backtrack to Saskatoon. But those are two good, really long flights where I can catch up on sleep, so I'm excited. But also, almost everyone on this flight is from the conference, so I could also choose to visit with them if I'd like.
Everybody here has been really excited for you, and I know this is something you'll be sharing with many people when you get back here, your pictures and your stories, and we can live vicariously through Kira.
Well, I brought souvenirs, too. Ooh. And the Canadian Farm Writers Federation said that we should all write little stories about our experience for the newsletter, so I could be putting a piece in there as well.
Excellent. Okay. Well, we'll check for you on social media. Let's give the social media stuff one last plug.
Yep. You can find all of my posts. I did 2 posts per day for about 5 days, so there's a good chronological story there of what we did. That's on CFWF. You can find that on Instagram and on Facebook. It's the Canadian Farm Writers Federation. And it should be easy enough to find. There's only one of us.